Please open your Bibles to the book of Romans, the 13th chapter. Romans chapter 13. In your Scofield Bible, page 1207, we'll be reading the verses 8 through 14. These verses we'll read responsively. Romans 13, verses 8 through 14. And let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, but in strife and envying. And together on verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And I'm reading an additional verse, the 48th verse of the 5th chapter of Matthew. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And let's pray. And Father, how we praise thee for this great church, for this hour in the week when we sit at the feet of thy servant. We thank you for that which you bring to us faithfully from thy word. That need today we have is real. It's a need that thou dost know. Minister to our heart's need, we pray, and give power to our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
We come to the preaching of thy word. What a wonderful book. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful opportunity it is to stand and proclaim the unsearchable riches of thy book. May the people's attention be as was the case in Luke chapter 4 when our Savior stood to speak in Capernaum synagogue. And it says the eyes of all those that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. I pray for the attention of all the people as I direct them to you. In Jesus' name, amen. A little boy gets a hammer and saw and plays builder. A little girl puts on some high heels, borrows one of her mother's dresses, and plays mother. Nobody dares to say that that child or those children are hypocrites. And yet, in a sense, they are. They're hypocrites. They're pretending to be something that they are not, but they are pretending to be something that they someday want to become. If you're never a hypocrite, you'll never grow in Christian maturity. Let me say it again. If you're never a hypocrite, you'll never grow in Christian maturity. Our text says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. What it's saying is, be a hypocrite. Put ye on, dress up like Jesus. It's exactly what it's saying. Dress up like Jesus. Now, the truth is, that's hypocrisy. You're not Jesus, and you cannot be like Jesus. But the Bible says you're supposed to dress up like Jesus. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for about 10 minutes as I lay the foundation. I promise you that I'll be gone. I'll be finished in less than 30 minutes this morning. You'll be out in plenty of time, though it's Lord's Supper time. I want this morning for you to follow me very, very carefully as I lay the foundation. The goal for every sincere Christian should be to be a mature Christian. That should be your goal. That should be my goal. Brother Colston read for us a while ago, Matthew 5:48, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father," or "Father in heaven," is perfect. What our Lord is saying is, be ye therefore mature. Be ye therefore grown up. Be a mature Christian. That's a command. So every single believer should have as his goal to become a mature Christian. I cannot quite comprehend people who want to stay at the bottom of the ladder all the time. I cannot quite comprehend people who get saved and sit down just inside the door and never want to explore the riches of the Christian life. I cannot comprehend a child, and you won't find a child that does not want to become an adult. You ask this boy here, this boy, this girl, how old they are, and they'll say 5 1/2, or 5 3/4, or going on 6. They want to get older. They want to grow up. They want to be older. Every single 14 or 15-year-old young person in this room this morning wants to get his driver's license. And every parent this morning that has a 15 or 16-year-old hopes they'll never get old enough to get a driver's license. Especially the women. No woman ought to be allowed on the road behind the wheel of a car. But I could say a few things about my family there, but I won't say anything. I'm too nice a fella right now. But I just want to say this. If you see a little lady about 3 years younger than I am driving a Buick that has a blue bottom and a gold top, I'd suggest you stay about 100 yards behind or 100 yards in front. There's a curse on that woman these days when she gets behind the wheel. But anyway, every single child wants to be an adult. Now, it's just as normal for a Christian to want to be a mature Christian. But I can't comprehend a child that doesn't want to grow up. And I can't comprehend a Christian that doesn't want to grow up. Our admonition in the Scriptures is grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, we then must know what it is to be a mature Christian. Now, I want to take a few minutes and I want to tell you what it means, what being mature in the Lord is. Now, this is pretty heavy stuff. I'll get down to something lighter in a few minutes, but I want you to follow me. Being a mature Christian is allowing God to use your body to do what He wants done. That's basically it. Isn't that what Paul said in Romans 12:1? "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." All right? So being a mature Christian, I'm going to give you several statements. Number one, it is allowing God to use your body to do what He wants done. Number two, it is yielding, follow this now, it is yielding your body to Him so He can be in you what you wanted to be by yourself. Let me say it again. Being a mature Christian is yielding your body to Him so He can be in you what you wanted to be by yourself. You want to be something, you can't be it. You want to start something, you fail. You want to quit something, and you do it again. And you're sincere, and you want to be a mature Christian. You want to grow up. But now maturity is when you get to the place to where you yield yourself to Him. That's all you can do to be a mature Christian. You yield yourself to Him. And then He comes in and is in you what you wanted to be all the time. Statement number three. You see, one of you must move out. One of you must move out. Either you must move out and let Him control, or He must move out and you control. So basically, being a mature Christian is when you move out and let Jesus come in to control your life. Statement number four. Jesus is looking for a body so He can act like Himself. Jesus is looking for a body so He can act like Himself. Jesus cannot act like Himself without a body. For He is the right hand of the Father. Young folks back here, listen to me. Hey, those children back there. Young people, hey, But listen, right back this way now. Folks behind you want to hear, so listen carefully now. I'm saying that Jesus is looking for a body so He can act like Himself. He needs a body. God has no hands but our hands to do His work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men to His way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell men that Christ died. He has no help but our help to lead men to His side. You see, you're the only gospel this careless world would read. You're the sinner's gospel. You're the scoffer's creed. You're the Lord's last message written in deed and word. What if the line is crooked? What if the print is blurred? What if our hands be busy with other works than His? What if our feet are leading where sin's allurement is? What if our tongues are speaking of things that Christ would spurn? How can we hope to aid Him and hasten His return? I'm saying, if Jesus has any hands where His hand, where He can be Jesus, they must be your hands and mine. If He has a tongue where He can be Jesus, He must have your tongue and mine. If He has a body where He can be Jesus, He must be your body and mine. I'm saying we must move out and He must move in so He can be in us what He is. Statement number 5. Nobody can be like Jesus can. So why don't you quit trying to be like Jesus and ask Him to come in so He can be like Jesus in you? You see, you can't be like Jesus, but Jesus can be like Jesus. And if you could be a little bit like Jesus, you can't be as much like Jesus as Jesus can. So being a mature Christian is, when you move out, invite Him by faith to come in and allow Him to be Jesus in you. Statement number 6. So all I ever wanted to be, He becomes in me. All I ever wanted to be. I tried to be like Him. I could not. I said I tried to love like Him. I could not. I tried to forgive like Him. I could not. I tried to be gentle like Him. I could not. And finally I said, Dear God, I'm moving out. I cannot do it. Jesus, move in. And Jesus comes in and gentleness flows through my body to mankind because Jesus is in charge of my body. Statement number 7. So maturity, this is the summary of it. So maturity is His life in me living. Maturity is His love in me loving. Maturity is His mind in me thinking. Maturity is His joy in me singing. Maturity is His peace in me resting. Now this is the ideal. This is the destination. This is our goal. We want to grow up. We want to be like Him. And so we say, Jesus, we've tried, we failed, so I'm moving out. You move in. These are your hands from now on. These are your ears. These are your arms. These are your feet. This is your tongue. These are your eyes. This is your body. You move in and you live through me. And you love through me. And you forgive through me. That's the ideal. But now wait a minute. That's not the sermon. That's the introduction. This doesn't happen overnight. There's no way in the world you're going to get saved this week and let Jesus live in you next week. No way in the world. You get saved, you're a babe in Christ. And you start a long journey of growing up, just like a child. A little child is born. That little child doesn't use a computer the next day. I'm 63, and I can't use one of those things. They're spooky. I don't like snakes or computers. They're spooky to me. I mean, I just don't. They bother me. When I can be a little country airport out in the middle of the desert, and they punch a little machine there, and they can find out in less than 10 seconds from New York City. They find out what plane I'm on, the flight number, the time it leaves, what my connections are. And by the way, I'm a frequent flyer. In fact, I'm one of those American Airlines. They have Advantage. That's the frequent flyers. They have Advantage Gold. That's the folks that fly all the time. And I'm Advantage Gold. In United, they have what they call Premier. That's the frequent flyers. Then they have what they call the Executive Premier. That's the folks that fly all the time. And I'm an Executive Premier. Listen, when they punch my name on one of those computers, I don't care where it is, they find out that I prefer an aisle window seat to an aisle seat. I mean, they find out if sometimes they give me a little, I fly so much, they give me a little free coupons, and I can, if there's a first class seat open, I can upgrade for nothing and sit in first class. That's up there where you get the wine and the martinis and all that stuff, boy. And so I'll upgrade. They on that computer, they'll find out that I sometimes upgrade. It's unbelievable. It's uncanny. They find out that I like Frosties and so forth. Not quite that, but I'm saying a little child, a child is not born one day and using a computer the next day. A child has to grow. It takes a lot of praying. It takes a lot of exercise. It takes a lot of food. It takes a lot of school. It takes a lot of training. Now, what we want is a mature child, a mature adult someday. But you don't become a mature adult immediately, and you don't become a mature Christian immediately. It takes a lot of training. It takes a lot of Bible. It takes a lot of sermons. It takes a lot of soul winning. It takes a lot of growing. It takes a lot of Bible reading. Why? Because you are growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the question is, just like a child, there's one thing the child always wants, and that's to grow up. I mean, I saw one day a cartoon, Mutt and Jeff. I don't read funny papers much, but I read years ago. Mutt and Jeff. Was Mutt the tall one or the short one? Tall one. Jeff was laying under a tree, sleeping in the shade, doing nothing. And Mutt walks up and says, "Won't you get up and do something?" He said, "Why?" He said, "Get you a job." Jeff said, "Why?" He said, "So you can make some money." Jeff said, "Why?" He said, "So you can get rich." Jeff said, "Why?" He said, "So you can someday retire and do nothing but lay under the shade of a tree all your life." Jeff said, "That's what I'm doing now. Why go to all the trouble?" Now, the honest, simple truth is, there is a time that we look forward to. The time of maturity. Every child wants to grow up. And every Christian naturally ought to want to grow up. If you don't want to, you're going to go to hell because you do so-and-so, that's a piddling way to live for God. Well, what's wrong with this? That's a piddling way to live for God. Why don't you say, why can't I be a mature Christian? I want to grow up, and I want to be a mature child of God. But now, wait a minute. The child, as he waits for maturity, he feigns maturity. He gets in his daddy's shoes. And tries to walk in his daddy's shoes. The girl gets her high heels, mother's high heels, and walks in the mother's high heels. Little girl wants a stove for Christmas or a refrigerator. Little boy wants a tool set. Why? He wants to be an adult. But until he becomes an adult, he's a hypocrite. He acts like an adult. He puts on his father's clothes. She puts on her mother's dress. He puts on like he's an adult. And that's exactly what God is saying. He's saying between the time that you get saved and the time that you become a mature adult, he said, be a first-class hypocrite. Put on Jesus. And what it means is dress up like Jesus. Exactly what it means. So the child acts and plays grown. The girl cooks, acts like she's cooking. The boy acts like he's building. The girl puts on the high heels and mama's clothes. When I was a little boy, I played soldier. I was always the general. But I played soldier. When I got in high school, I joined. We had an ROTC, Reserve Officers Training Unit in our high school. I joined the ROTC. I became a first lieutenant in the ROTC. Boy, I thought I was in the Army. I got drafted in World War II, went to the paratroopers, the first day on basic training. Anybody here ever had any ROTC training? I said, I did. I just knew I'd be right beside Douglas MacArthur on the battlefield. And they said, okay, you guys that have the ROTC training, get your toothbrushes and scrub the floor. But I was playing soldier. Now, was I a hypocrite? Yeah. Was that wrong? No. No. I was playing soldier. Then in World War II, I became a soldier. I played soldier as a boy. I joined the ROTC as a teenager. I became a soldier in World War II. And that's what God is saying here. God is saying, I am to grow up. But while I am in the process of growing up, I am to pretend. I am to dress up like Jesus. I am to put on. Oh, you see, you're just putting on. That's what I'm to do. Well, you say the church is full of hypocrites. I hope it is. I hope it is. I'm to put on, pretend, act like Jesus
until the day comes when I can understand maturity and He can come in to live in me and do through me and be in me what He wants to be. But until that day, I have to do my best to look like Jesus.
Illustration. I get up in the morning, I feel grouchy. Not every morning. I don't remember a morning when I didn't, but I'm sure there was one. I get up in the morning and I feel grouchy. Somebody said, Brother Howells, I wish I had your energy. I have an idea you just bounce out of bed every morning and hit it running. I don't wake up in the morning. I get resurrected from the dead every morning. But I get up in the morning and I feel grouchy. Now what do? I'm in a motel room somewhere. I go out in the hallway. I feel grouchy. Here comes one of the maids. Cleans the motel room down the hall. What do I say? Shut up, you hussy. That's what I want to say. But I don't say that. What do? I put on friendliness. I dress up friendly. And so I smile. In here I'm frowning. Up here I'm smiling. Good morning. How are you today? Fine. She's lying. How are you? Fine. I'm lying. But what am I? I'm dressing up friendly. And you know what I can do? By the time I walk down that hallway and talk to the porter and talk to the host of the desk and get me a bite of breakfast and talk to the waitress and then come back and talk to the speak to the maids and walk back the room or talk to some folks who walk down the hallway, you know that within an hour or so, I feel friendly. Why? I put on friendliness. I put on a smile. Every once in a while somebody said, well, you just get what you see when you look at me. You're an idiot. But I tell you what, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. If you're not, you'll kill four people before sundown. God said, put on Jesus. There'll be a day when you keep on yielding and yielding and grow up and grow up and grow up till you'll be mature and He'll work in you and everything will be genuine and He will live through you and love through you and forgive through you and be gentle through you. But until that day comes, put on Jesus. Act like Him the best you can. Be a hypocrite. You don't feel good, act like you feel good. For example, if you don't have courage, act like you got courage. Act like it. Put on courage. Put it on. Shoot. I was preaching out in Seattle, Washington. And the fellow there said, as a Christian school wants to have you speak today. I walked in that Christian school, so-called Christian school. They had the chapel in the gymnasium. It always bothers me when a gymnasium is more important to build than a chapel in a Christian school. It always bothers me. But anyway, had a gymnasium. And they had the speaker on the floor and the students up here in the grandstand. And I walked out there and I never saw such a thing in my life. Every girl there had on a dress, foot over her knee, legs spread apart. You could see her underwear. The guy got down there with a guitar and started playing some rock music on, and no faculty members were there, and nobody had introduced me. And finally, one guy said, this is Brother Reverend Hiles. He's here speaking over in another church, and we had him come here. And I stood up, and they started jeering and laughing at me, and I said, won't you girls put some clothes on? And I said, I never saw anything like this in my life. If this is Christian, I'd be afraid to go to a heathen school. I just expressed my feelings in a wonderful Christian manner. Told them how I felt. It all ended. Football team descended on me. The captain of the team was a tackle, big old guy. That time I wasn't near as big as I am now. But anyway, he's a big old guy. And he said, you're not going to get by with that. He took his coat off. His muscle looked like a cantaloupe there on his arm. I raised up my little grape and said, I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of you. He said, you're not going to get by with that. And he came at me with his fist. I said, okay, wait a minute. I said, students, all of you just sit there. I said, I was a paratrooper in the war. I know judo and karate. I've known it for years. I could chop this fella in two with one little whack just like that. And I've been wanting to practice up on my karate for a long time. I took off my coat. And this fella said, well, that's all right.
That's all right. You know, what was I doing? I was putting on courage.
I scared death. I couldn't squeeze a grape. I couldn't with a karate chop, I couldn't break a thin piece of spaghetti. Yeah, he didn't know it. And you know what happened? I said, come on, come on. Come on. He said, that's all right, you're an old man. Now, you're an old man, that's all right. And you know what? I got so courageous, I wanted to fight the guy. I got beside myself. And that's what God is saying here. God is saying here, He's saying you're not mature yet. The day will come when you are mature, and the day will come when Christ can live in you and love through you and live through you and forgive through you. But He said, that's a long ways off. So until you're an adult, put on Jesus' shoes. Put on Jesus' dress. Put on Jesus' kindness. Put on Jesus' love. Put on Jesus' courage. That's what He's saying. Take thanksgiving. Act thankful. Act thankful. If you don't feel thankful, put it on. After you put it on for a while, you'll be thankful. Same way with joy. Put on joy. Say, well, how's I wake up in the morning and I don't know how I'm going to face the day. Got burdens and problems and heartaches, and all of us do. Put on some joy. Dress up in joy. Fake it. That's what He's saying. He's saying, put on. That very words are used. Put on. Put on. You just put on. That's what it says. Be a put on. Now, ideally, you're supposed to someday grow up where you don't have to put on. You bring Him in. But you're not going to be that way the first week after you're saved. And you're not going to be there the first month after you're saved. And you probably won't be there the first 10 years after you're saved. And it may not be that way for the first 30 years after you're saved, but until you get to the place of where you mature in Christ, and Christ can be Christ in you, and Christ can be in you what you want to be yourself, put it on! Be kind! Be loving! Be gentle! Same thing with peace. Put on peace. You put the house, I'm nervous, I'm worried, I'm concerned about the future. But put on. Listen. You can work something in as sure as you can work something out. You can work kindness in. Now follow me carefully. If you are getting more like Him on the outside by putting on Him, and you're getting more like Him on the inside by maturing and Him coming in you to work through you, then the outside is working in, and the inside is working out. And you've got a pretty good chance of being like Him. But you are not going to be like Him until you mature. When you mature someday, He can live in you and live through you. His love in you loving, His life in you living, His mind in you thinking, His joy in you singing, His peace in you resting, and you can be like Him. But until that day, He said, act like Me. Well, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. Well, then you're not going to grow in grace. Because when you get to place, listen, you say, well, that's not sincere. It is more sincere than any other thing I know. That little child who wants to be like Mommy. That little girl who more than anything in the world wants to be like Mommy. She wants to grow up. You ask her greatest desire, and if she told you the truth, she'd say, I want to grow up. I want to grow up. That little girl is sincere. She is sincere. And there's nobody in the world more sincere than I was when I was a boy wanting to be a soldier. And there's nobody in the world as sincere as the Christian who says, I'm not like Jesus, I'm not mature, and I know it. He does not love through me, live through me, forgive through me, sing through me. He doesn't do it yet, but I want to be like Him so much, I want to do all I can to be like Him. I'm going to put Him on. That's sincerity. That's not hypocrisy. That's sincerity. You dress up like Jesus. You've been dressing up like Him? Now, there's some of you who are mature Christians. There's some of you in this room who you know what it's like to yield to Him. You know what it's like for Him to love through you and live through you and sing through you. You know what it's like. You have yielded yourself to Him, and you have spent so much time in this book and so much time on your knees that you have Him living in you, and Jesus is being Jesus the only way He can be Jesus on earth. He is in your body, living through you, loving through you, singing through you, testifying through you, preaching through you, teaching through you. He is in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But most of us this morning are not there yet. Now we're supposed to get there. We're supposed to live in this book and live on our knees and walk with God so someday we can be like Him from the inside out. But until then, we're supposed to want to be like Him so much. We put on His high heels. We get His hammer and saw. We want to be grown. And to be grown is to be like Jesus. And so I'm saying this morning, go out of here and want to be like Jesus so much that you'll put on love and you don't feel love. You've seen your little girl getting mama's makeup and put mama's makeup on. And she doesn't know the lipstick's just for the lips. And she looks like a clown in a circus. And then she gets mama's high heels and walks like she's on stilts, like some of you teenage girls just wearing them for the first time. She walks like, and that's why a girl, when a girl gets 11 or 12 years old, she wants high heels. It's not because high heels are comfortable. The truth is, the idiot that invented high heels will not be in heaven. It's the dumbest thing I ever saw in my life. But she wants to wear them.
Well, that's hypocrisy, and you're going to see what you get, what you see when you come to me.
And you think that's good? You bragging on yourself? The honest, simple truth is, every single one of us ought to say, "Dear God, I want to be like Jesus." And I wish the day could come when I could so be totally yielded, so totally yielded to Him, that He would have my body and I could move out and He could love through me and live through me. But Jesus, it's going to take a while before I get there. But I tell you what, I want to be like You so much, I'm going to copy You. I saw a little boy back there the other day while Brother Boardway was leading the singing, going like that. Just like that. You've heard me tell this story. You won't believe it anyhow, but it's true. Years ago, I drove down Sibley Street, and just the other side of Calumet on the left, I saw a little girl preaching. She had a little pulpit somebody had built, box. She had about a dozen kids sitting down there on boxes like pews. I pulled over side of the road. She was Brother Hiles. She was letting them have it, preaching up a storm. She had dug a little hole about that deep, somebody had, and about that wide, right at the altar, and filled it with water. She didn't know I was watching. I sat over the other side of the car and pulled the blind down where she couldn't see me, but I saw her. She preached on hell and damnation. She preached against everything it was to preach against. She said, "Now bow your heads. Anybody wants to get saved? You come on down the aisle." Right back at the end of that aisle was a dog. She whistled and did like that, and that dog had obeyed her and walked down that aisle. She said, "Are you receiving Jesus as your Savior?" I did not hear what the dog said. She said, "Folks," she said, "this," and she called His name, "Rover is coming, receiving Christ as Savior." Out down here on Sibley Street, just on the side of Calumet, she put that dog in that baptistry. And she raised her hand and she said what Brother Johnny Colston says, Brother Hiles used to say, in obedience to the command of our Lord and Master, upon a public profession of your faith in Him, I'll baptize you, I don't know if it's a brother or a sister, in the name of the Father, of the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. And she put that dog under that water and baptized that dog. Was she Brother Hiles? No. Was that dog a real convert? No. No. What was she doing? She's putting on. Why don't you put on His love today? Until you mature where He can flow His love through you, why don't you put on? Won't you dress up like Jesus?
Until you can come to the place in your life where He can forgive through you, put on. Until you come to the place in your life where His joy can flow through you, put on joy. His joy. And as you put it on, it'll become more real to you. And you'll be happier. And you'll love more. That's what the Apostle Paul meant when he said, until you can obey what Jesus said in Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect or mature, even as your Father in heaven is perfect or mature. Until that day, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads, please?